Strength is a word that most in the world do not think applies to Christians. The world wants all believers to be weak and submissive in everything they want to put forth. However, the Bible calls all believers to be strong. We should no longer think we have to bend to every whim that the world throws at us. The Bible's full of examples of how we are to be strong in faith and in practice. For this reason, I have chosen strength as being one of the 7 ironclad Christian characteristics. Episode 25 provides evidence why Christians should show strength in our belief in biblical principles and faith in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Jesus Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me each week to help develop and grow your daily walk with Christ through biblical discussion, lessons, and teaching to help us to be a light to those we encounter in the world that we walk and live in. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. I'm your host, David Marks. Before we get into the meat, as I can say it that way, of what we're going to be covering today as a topic, I want to give you a disclaimer. There are going to be those who would be offended, and will be, I'm sure, by what I have to say today. So if you're going to be one of those who is highly offended, okay, I'm not going to apologize, because I do feel like the biblical principle tells us to take a stand. I, for one, am so tired of the world trying to tell all Christians we have to be weak. I'm tired of the world telling us that we should just cower down to everything they want. And when we don't do that, they call us unloving. But I hope that I lay out in this podcast the roadmap for why it is actually showing love to be truthful with someone. Why it is showing love to warn them of doom and the destruction that could lie ahead in the things that they do. I know I'm not trying to be socially woke with this podcast, quite the contrary. And I just wanted to give you fair warning that things that I may say are probably going to offend people. But you know what? Jesus was offensive. And the world is going to see us probably as salty sometimes, but we're called to be that. Salt purifies, it cleans, but it also irritates. And there's going to be a time as Christians that we just have to take a stand. And that time has far passed in some of the things that are taking place in our world. So that being said, let us get into why strength is one of the 7 ironclad Christian characteristics that we should have. And let me just start off by giving you an article. The executive director of the Gay Christian Network, Justin Lee, is his name, wrote that Christians are Christians' worst enemy. And he wrote in this article and in his book, Torn, Rescuing the Gospel from the Gay versus Christian Debate, it's the name of his book, quote, "I argue that we Christians have often become our own worst enemies. In many communities, our reputation is that of uncompassionate culture warriors, quick to shout about gays or abortion or political candidates, but slow to show grace and mercy in our everyday lives." That's end quote. Okay. In other words, Mr. Lee would prefer for Christians to always be cowardly and show grace. He continues to write, and here's his quote, "And these acts of ungrace by Christians have far more power to damage Christianity's reputation and influence than any attack launched at the church from the outside," end quote. So the question is, should Christians always be cowardly and weak in what they do? And before we get into biblical text, I want to say something here. The world wants to make us malleable to who they are. And we're going to get into our enemy a little bit later on and why that's the case. But Christianity shouldn't be worried about its reputation. Christianity should be about truth. It should be about teaching people the way, pointing them to Christ. We as Christians are not worried about our reputation in the world, because the world is trash. I mean, the world is, we know, is evil. It's a fallen world. It's a sin-filled world. Why should we worry about our reputation in the world? It's not our reputation that we're trying to worry about. It's about being biblically factual and telling people about Jesus being the way to salvation. It's not about reputation, because if we worry about our reputation, we're going to start bending the knee to everything they want us to do. We're going to start just taking away all of the Christian biblical principles, whether it be family, or whether it be societal norms, or whatever it may be, even to the extent of saying that Jesus is the only way. They would love for us to bend to that whim. They would love for us to just say, yes, you're right, there may be other ways, or there may be other societal norms we need to accept, and that is not biblical at all. That is not biblical. So, as I get into my little rants here, I don't just want to say it. I want to back it up. Because, you know what, a man I love very much, Steve Lee is his name. He's pastor of a church, and Brother Steve has said many, many times that it is not my opinion that matters. It's what the Bible says. And I think that is a home run statement, because we as Christians a lot of times think that we worry about what other people think, like this gentleman says, our reputation, or we want to put our opinion forth, but it's really what the Bible says that matters at the end of the day. It's not what I think or what you think. So, all that being said, let's get into what the Bible actually teaches us about strength and showing grace and just worrying about our reputation with the world. So, let me begin by saying this. I believe there's only one truth. Jesus is truth. If any self-called Christian states otherwise, they are being socially woke. They are worrying about their reputation. Jesus was clear on the subject, and there was not an addition to what he stated. In other words, the first principle stand a Christian have to be strong in is the concrete belief that Jesus is the only way. Only. Period. Secondly, while we are called to forgive and show grace, we are not called to be weak. Quite the contrary. Christians are called to love and not hate. And let me explain how this shows bravery. If you love someone, you try to keep them from ultimate destruction. And the greatest ultimate destruction there is the eternal inescapability of hell. For a more secular point of view, if we want to look at it, if you knew of anyone, friend or foe, who you loved, you would warn them about the danger ahead. The world wants to push this picture of a Jesus who would be accepting of anyone and anything, and this is not true, nor is it biblical. So on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his disciples, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." That's one of the arguments I have found. I want to stop my quote of Jesus there for a second and tell you, that's one of the things I have found in people that I have encountered. They will bring up a law that was written in Leviticus, and they'll say, well, if God was so loving, he wouldn't do this, or he wouldn't make this a law, okay? I don't question the law. I didn't write it. God did. He gave the law. My job is to try to fulfill it as best I can, knowing that I can't. I then have grace through Christ. Okay, I'm going to break it. I'm going to have sin because we are born into a sinful world. However, just because we're born into a sinful world and we're Christians and have grace, that doesn't mean that we just get to throw the law away. Jesus didn't throw the law away either. He came to fulfill that law. So let me continue. This is Jesus' words. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." All right, believers, if we go out and we conform to the world, if we go out and we worry about our reputation and we start accepting any lifestyle, then we are taking away the rewards in heaven for us. And no, that's not what we're working for. I'm just going to be happy with anything God wants to give us. But that shows us that there was a hierarchy in the placement of heaven, that when you did not stand on biblical principle, then you were not doing what the law commanded us to do. And that includes the law of Jesus Christ. So it's very clear we can't just bend the law to what we want it to be. So being called least in the kingdom of heaven, continuing what Jesus said here, "But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case," keep this in mind here, "you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And that's from Matthew 5, 17 through 20. So Jesus is pretty plain here in what he says. If you go out and you tell people that they can just make the law their own, if you tell people they don't have to obey the law anymore, and if you push people towards not following the law like the Pharisees are doing or the scribes may be doing, you're not going to enter the kingdom. Now, that's pretty cold there to what the world would say. That doesn't sound like the Jesus they always want to promote that was just loving and accepting of anyone. Jesus was clear. Your righteousness has to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. Your righteousness has to surpass the scribes. And granted, some of these scribes, the Pharisees, if you look back at the religious leaders, they were very corrupt. They were basically doing whatever they wanted, not what the law wanted. They would bend the law to what they wanted it to say. They were not following what God had laid out. And Jesus is very clear. You cannot be like them and enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus never stated that the Old Testament law was to be absolved. The law is extensive and very clear on social norms that we quickly disavow in the 2021 world in which we live. let us look at an example with a new theory of gender identification. Okay, this is a hot topic. This is something that I'm sure that's going to be covered. And this is something that the church has embattled in this warfare in our world today. Now remember, I want you to keep in mind that the world wants us to worry about our reputation with them. Just as that Mr. Lee wrote in that article, he wants us to worry about our reputation. God never called us to worry about our reputation with the world. God called us to teach truth. So let's look at societal norm of gender identification. Jesus taught in Mark 10:6, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." Most of you may have noticed that the Savior did not give room for the expansion of the 31 plus genders that New York City or others may accept. It was male and female, period. The world wants Christians to take the grace approach or the reputable, take the reputation approach that you want to protect your reputation and accept any genders that we throw your way. Now, this becomes a slippery slope for how society is formed and the things we stand for. And see, we can as Christians just think, well, our reputation will be hurt if they don't think that we support what they're doing. I'm telling you, my friends, there's a lot of things in my life that Jesus is not accepting of. And he wasn't worried about his reputation. Jesus was there to be my sacrifice. I would even carry it further to say that the law was something that slew me, as Paul said. It's something that rose up because of the sin I had, and it made me understand I needed a Savior. It wasn't because the law was worried about the reputation I had towards it or it had towards me. It was about telling me the truth. And we as a society have slipped very far in what we are accepting, even in Christian circles. The strength that Christians should show is to educate on how foolish this societal norm is. It is not biblical, nor does it align with what Jesus taught. Male and female, again, I can't say that enough. But let me go just a step further. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:10-13, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So when the world throws all these multiple genders at us, or they want to tell us that we need to worry about our reputation to the world, we put on the armor of God, because we understand that we are not fighting just a standard enemy. We are fighting spiritual wickedness in this world. It's not just flesh and blood. It is spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan, our enemy, wants us to think that we should have to worry about the reputation the world thinks of us, or what they, you know, what they, oh, you're not being woke, or whatever it may be. But Paul is very clear here. Paul is saying, don't be woke, put on the armor. Do you see any lack of strength in what Paul is writing? Because I do not. We as Christians understand that we have an enemy. This enemy wants to trample the most common sense, and I would say biological, and biblical standards we have. Jesus taught in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Satan would like to pull down the strongholds, and has, I'm going to put it to the degree there, that Satan has infiltrated the church like a spy. He has come in and he has taken things that we have known to be biblical truths for years, and he has put woke pastors up in pulpits and in Sunday school classrooms to teach, and he has deceived the very elect. They've worried about the reputation they have with the world. They've worried about making the biblical malleable to what they want it to be or what the world wants it to be, and therefore they have deceived many people. So let me tell you this. The Bible was written, and you either have to accept it as God's word or not. You cannot bend it to what you want it to be. I can't bend it to what I want it to be. And going back to what I said about the law earlier, it slew me. It made me realize that I needed a Savior. So we cannot be deceived by the tricks and the trades that Satan tries to use. We put on the armor of God. We take a stand and withstand even in the evil day. And if we have ever lived in an evil day, I think it's the time that we live in now. See, our call is to take a stand and show strength in all that we do. So now let us talk about this grace factor that Mr. Lee went into extensively. Should we be forgiving? Yes. Should we show grace and love? Absolutely. Should we cower to the new societal standards? Absolutely not. Now, refer back to the discussion on what real love is. And I want to just carry that a little bit further. See, real love warns of doom. This includes any sin, not just the ones we pick from. Lying is not a Christian principle. Neither is murder. Both are what we call sin. The Bible is clear that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is from Romans 3:23. What is not stated is that grace is a license to sin. And I think that is something that Satan has used, is that we should just be accepting because the world wants us to have a good reputation or a good relationship with it. So therefore, grace is going to cover all those sins. But the Bible is very clear about this. As Christians, we should strive for righteous living. 1 John 2:28 and 29 states, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when we shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." In other words, if we call ourselves Christians, we should hold to the righteous living. We should try our best to live a righteous life. That means we have to apply that law even when we don't like it sometimes. It might be easier to tell someone a lie, but that lie is still sin. That lie is still not acceptable to God. And that lie, of course, is always what points us to Christ, because we need forgiveness of that sin and we needed a Savior. And He was that Savior. So we got to hold to righteous living, folks. If we're going to be Christians in this world that we're in, if we're going to make an impact, we cannot be weak. Now, we understand that we will never be perfect. Paul gives great detail about things he would and would not do. As I've said earlier, I find myself having to repent of sin, not because I'm proud of it, not because I think, oh man, you know, I can tell this lie and it'll be okay. No, no, no. If I say something, I've got to be as truthful as possible. I can't commit murder. I can't steal. I can't covet. That's biblical. That's the law. And as Jesus stated, and we told you earlier from the Sermon on the Mount, that we can't throw the law away just because we want to, just because we want to have a good reputation with the world. So we understand we won't be perfect in the world, but we've got to be biblically strong in biblical principles. Now, this is not an easy task to do in the world that we live in today. We know that. Again, the world wants us to have a good reputation with it. But friends, we're at war. We are embattled in a spiritual war, and we have an enemy. And the enemy would love to infiltrate and to confuse and, of course, even tear down the most elect that God may have. Now, take note. If you remain strong, the world will hate you. But let me tell you something about that. If the world hates you, you're in good company. And here's why I say that. If the world thinks you've got a bad reputation with it, that's not necessarily a bad thing for you. And here's why I say that. Jesus taught, "If the world hates you, know ye that it hated me before it hated you." Don't be surprised by the haters. So what should we do? We should put on the whole armor of God. We should be strong and take a stand. I believe that Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 16:13 when he said, "Watch ye stand fast in the faith, quick you like men, be strong." That is an encouraging word. And one last little information I'll give you. When we put on the whole armor of God, if you'll go back and study that, and maybe we'll cover that sometime in future podcast series. But when we put on that whole armor of God, there's not anything on our back. It's everything on the front. So Christians, we have to go on the offense sometimes, and we're to use our offensive weapons that we have, and that offensive weapon is the Word of God. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. I hope you learned something. I'd love to hear back from you. Be sure to send me an email, leave a comment on the post here on our website if you would like to. And friends, we hope that you will always join us next time for another episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. May the Lord richly bless you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com, where you can subscribe to our email newsletter, or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.